Welcome to Spaghetti Lunchers, the world building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode or today's menu is all about assassins, our favorite shadowy dark edgelord murder hobo boys.
What a succinct description of what an assassin is.
It's completely accurate too. Yeah,
this is one of those topics that we fucking love. As you may have noticed if you've listened to the first episode of this podcast, which was about assassins. Please don't listen to it.
Technically about a guild.
It was about assassins' guilds. Now we're dropping the guilds. Now it's just about assassins. We love them. They're very fun. And they're often a little one-note-y of, as you just described, they're shadowy.
They're cool. It's cool. It's a cool trope.
They're super fucking cool. Yes. Let's be very clear about that. Right. But often in fantasy or in fiction, they are just like the Dark Brotherhood from Skyrim or from Elder Scrolls, where they're just like, yeah, but like we're shadowy people.
We wear black and have skull icons on our armor.
And we do it for money and for like our Dark Lord and whatever.
Dark Mother.
The Dark Mother's
intense. Oh, she's great. Yeah, it's great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's real world analogs. Like assassins exist in the real world.
Sure.
Please look at Russia.
Poisoned underwear.
You have
Russia.
You have the Black Hand in Serbia or whatever, who killed Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah.
You have modern analogs. Like I just recently watched Killing Eve. It's phenomenal.
Oh, nice.
Just don't watch the final season, but the first it's terrible. The first two seasons are like the perfect story.
What is it
and then the third season's like fine, but you didn't need it.
Yeah.
And the fourth season is truly unhinged content. And I don't know why this happens where they're like, they have a perfect idea to start out with, and then they just destroy it.
No show can stick a landing anymore. It's so frustrating. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on here.
Yeah. Oh, some can, but some, yeah. Anyway.
Very rarely.
But
it's becoming fewer and farther between.
But it's great, and it's about contract killers in like a modern sense. And they're like, and spoiler alert, that there's a group called the 11 or the 12.
Sure.
Who run this org, and no one ever knows who these guys are. Like they never actually get to who are the 12, who are these people, and that's really cool.
Yeah,
that they're this. It's like the shadowy cabal across all these intelligence agencies and governments, and like the mob and business and whatever. And it's it's the perfect QAnon conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
But they never actually get into who are these guys. And that, and like one of the characters is asking, like, are you one of the 12? And they're like, no. And you're like, who are they?
I think that's a lot of the fun of assassins is number one, the mystery surrounding them, the mystique surrounding them. But also there is something sort of admirable and that we all sort of aspire to in that ability, there is a fantasy of competency, of agency, of, in my case, the ability to maintain singular focus on a single topic for a very long time.
I don't know what you're talking about. As the editor of this podcast, I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
But I think
that's
part of the fun. And you think about even in the Assassin's Creed games, which are modeled after, where the hidden ones are modeled after real assassins.
The Persian assassins.
The Persian Order of Assassins.
Shout out to the OGs.
That's part of the fun of the game is holding back and following your target for a very long time.
At least the original games.
Until they get to right where you need them to be. And there is a fantasy there. That's a very similar fantasy to No Country for Old Men, too, where that guy, I forget his name, but played by
Javier Bardem,
who just maintains his singular focus on his target at all time and has agency and competency to get the job done.
Yeah. I never saw it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Add that to the list.
In high school, I had the mail Netflix
when
I
mailed
to you. And I was like, I watched like a movie a day. I would get the movies. I was like, I'm getting all the best pictures. I was cranking them out. Like I would get it and I would watch it that
Your
day.
Your one
and
movie pass failed.
Yeah. And then, this was before movie
I know.
Pass.
I'm kidding.
And then I got No Country for Old Men and it sat on my desk for 2 weeks. I couldn't watch it. I never did. And I sent it back. And I was watching a movie every day it came in the mail. I watched it that day and I sent it out. And No Country for Old Men, for some reason, I couldn't get over. I just couldn't get into it. I couldn't like even put it in. I don't even know
how
it starts.
That's
what she said. Yeah, good job. But I do need to watch it at some point.
You do. It's very good, and it is a great take on an assassin while also bending tropes.
Is an assassin not a serial killer?
Distinction without a difference.
I think serial killer does it for personal pleasure. Assassin does it for usually for a cause, money, power, some belief. I feel like a serial killer does it from like a raw sense of I need to satisfy this, like the dark passenger in Dexter's terms.
Sure. I think in this case, this character is both.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think, you know, there are all these jokes about if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Jesus Christ. That's dark. But I think there is something to that point that I was just making of like, what is an assassin specifically?
And
it's people killing usually professionally,
right,
for a reason beyond simply wanting to kill somebody.
Right. That might be a secondary reason where they might be good at it and enjoy it for some perverse, twisted, sadistical reason.
Yeah. Or you like the Thane Krios from Mass Effect route where it's like, I kill and I'm not happy about this.
Right.
I hate that this is my skill set.
And it's a religious calling.
Yeah. And I mourn that this is what I must do.
Yeah.
But I must do it. And I think that's always the most fascinating assassin to see is the one that's conflicted in a really, you know, resigned way of like, it's what I do. Yeah. I don't like it either, but
it's gotta be done.
It's gotta be done. Yeah.
I think that brings us to a good point. Kyle, tell me about your dish today.
Not a true believer. Give me your description.
Like me. I forgot.
All right. Well then I guess, I have to go first cause you don't have an idea. You forgot your idea.
I forgot.
All right. Well, do you want to remember right now?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, go ahead.
So, very simple idea. Psychic assassin who does not actually kill the target, but instead just completely wipes their memory of their entire identity, their entire history, their entire personality, gone.
Interesting.
So they are not reduced to a vegetative state. They are still a human. Mm-hmm. They're still alive. They're still a person. Their entire identity is gone, though. They are functionally dead.
Okay.
The body's still alive.
Uh-huh.
It can be, you know, sort of like basically permanent amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say permanent, I mean permanent. This is not No magic can bring this back.
Okay.
This is not, no psychic can bring this back. Like, the damage is done. Okay. It is I was going to say a psychic vasectomy, but, you know, that those are also somehow sometimes reversible, but I don't know enough about that science to make it work, but apparently they're sort of reversible. Yes, sometimes even though reversible. There are no guarantees about it being actually reversible.
You're thinking about Scrubs right now, aren't you?
Shut up.
Yeah,
but yes, but it is permanent.
Uh-huh.
And so this person is functionally dead. You could play with the idea. I did have the idea of maybe saying instead of the way that I'd originally pitched it and the way that I just described it is more of an X-Men Professor X psychic way, right? You could tweak it to have it be, this is a magic spell where I absorb the person's identity or I absorb the person's soul.
Mm-hmm.
The effect on the target is the same. They are blank slate, tabula rasa, right? But you have to deal with all of these different personalities inside your head now. So you could take it either way. You could take it the magic, I'm absorbing your personality. You end up with a character talking to themselves sort of like Jinx from Arcane, which...
Or Gollum.
Gollum might famously be a good... Or you could do the Professor X, I am just wiping out your personality completely. Again, so the person is functionally dead. They are gone. Just in the same way as they would be if they were killed. Well, but the body is still alive.
Okay, that's where I'm confused here. So you're not... It's not like you're giving them amnesia. You are making them a vegetable?
No.
Okay, well then their body's not functionally dead. Their body's functionally fine.
No, the body is functionally fine. I'm saying the person is yes, basically dead.
So you were hired to kill a political threat or something, and then there's a pigeon right there. Hey, that's a big fat pigeon. Hey, buddy.
Getting ready for winter.
Yeah, he's looking in the apartment. You can't come in, buddy.
He's a big boy.
Keep on flying away.
He's a big boy.
Anyway, yeah, he's a really fucking big pigeon. Hi.
Assassins, focus, Kyle. Singular focus. What is the fantasy? Both of us suck at this.
No. Okay. If it's a political threat, if it's, you know, somebody who is in opposition to whoever wants them killed, you remove their personality, you remove their memory, they don't know what they were into or what they were doing.
Yep.
And then if people go to talk to them, And they find a person there who doesn't like know how to talk, I presume. They haven't gotten rid of all their motor skills,
no,
their basic functioning. And then they just are like, who are you? What are you talking about?
Right.
And then they might try to brief that person and get that person back up to speed. So I think
they might, I think it wouldn't matter because the person is starting from square one.
Yeah. I think this works. This could work really cool if you like remove the bot, like you remove them, you would kidnap them, do this, and then dump them somewhere else in the world. And,
sure.
And then they're like the character in an RPG, like beginning of Skyrim, you're on the cart and you're like you're a blank slate.
Yeah.
And turns out you actually have a life before, and you were assassinated. They removed your memory and sent you somewhere else to get rid of you. That could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I think you
could do a little bit of a Bourne Identity thing too, where maybe they discover that their motor skills have been left intact somehow. Yeah, yeah. Like it was a botched job,
which is literally an idea you had previously.
Yes, it is. Why do you think it came to my mind? But yeah, you could, but I think it's more interesting if it really is permanent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sort of like the way Vader's always saying, I killed Anakin. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
You didn't, but
Lava
you,
did.
Lava.
But the, I think the first version is maybe the better one, which is like the, you absorb their personality. You absorb part of them.
Mm.
I think that because, and not the, like you become psychotic and you start talking to yourself and you become a golem figure. I think in the, like you have the voices in your head situation, like it's the silent suffering of the person who is like, it, take the Thank Krios model.
Yeah.
Like you are mournful of what you do because you have to live with them.
Yeah, you have their personality or their memories in you.
Yeah, like you have some sort of, you have some sense of them constantly with you forever now, where they act as like voices in your head. So like the higher your body count goes, the more complicated and you feel about it, mm-hmm, and the more you start to struggle with it. And it's like a pitcher. You have to take them out before they get to a certain pitch count, before
great
they
point,
get injured.
Yeah.
Like you have to stop being an assassin before you get a certain number of kills, because then it's too many memories and too much personality that you're taking from other people, and you start to lose yourself and mm-hmm, lose your loyalty to what you're doing, and you break.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we'll retire you after 15 kills or something like that. I don't know what it is, but I think that is, you create really complex characters with that.
It's way more interesting from a character building yeah perspective. I think from a world perspective, to the impact is the same, because either way you end up with these blank slates.
Yeah, you're leaving like a shell of a person.
Yeah,
I think it's just, if you just leave shells of people, and because as far as the people in the world know, it's both and neither at the same time.
Right,
they don't know who the assassins are theoretically, no, so it doesn't matter to them. So for the purposes of what we're talking about, yeah, let's just, why don't we just make it that it is that they absorb part of their personality? Because why not?
Doesn't
there hurt. There isn't an alternative that we're proposing here.
Sure.
But, and yeah,
psychic, I think, vasectomy is the alternative.
I think it's really fucking cool. I think the idea of taking on the personality is like such
it's
a great,
just so much more interesting.
It's such a great note. It really does, like, it elevates. And like, I know we're excited to watch Arcane tomorrow, so you're thinking about the Jinx thing. Uh-huh. I don't think, and I don't love the idea of, and I think an assassins group or wouldn't want the assassins who are the Jinx figure, who are the, like, you have gone crazy.
Right. The point is to stop them before they get there.
Yes. Yeah. So like, they wouldn't want to have it. Like if it was you become that and you start talking to yourself, they wouldn't want that, because then you might talk yourself out of it, or you might have one of those episodes in front of your target and then give away the game, and you're like, well, shit, they ran away because
right,
I started having a conversation or argument, yeah, over, you know, can I eat this fish, mm-hmm, Smeagol, and you know, whatever. So
a rock and pool is nice and cool.
True. Very true. Yeah, I don't know that there's much else to say about it.
No, it's very simple.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Assassins are, as we both probably realized in coming up with ideas for today, that assassins are relatively clean ideas.
Just like a good kill.
Just like a good kill. All right.
Yeah. So tell me about what it means to not be a true believer.
I was thinking about, going back to my earlier point about like the motivation of an assassin. Mm. It's usually power, money, politics, something. It usually, religion is not one of the things.
But it'd be cool if it was.
Yes, it'd be cool if it was. And sometimes it is like we kill for a god. Like the god of death wants right. us to be an assassin.
Like Baal in Baldur's Gate.
Yeah. I finally found the Baal like Kuotoa.
You found the balls, Kyle?
Yeah. I found the Baal Kuotoa in Baldur's Gate.
Nice. And
they're fucking weird. But anyway, I want to take a god that isn't a god of death at all. It is like the head of a pantheon or a monotheistic religion, whatever it is, where death isn't really associated with them per se, but there is a group there's like a part of the clergy who are assassins and they assassinate people who are at all blasphemous or who seem to be disapproving, but they do it in a way to make it appear that they were struck down by the god. They are feigning and pretending that they were smote, whichever of the words smote. It actually is
smote. They were smitten by the god.
Yeah, he's smitten. Ever so dreamy.
He was smote. So they're
vigorously smote.
I was vigorously smote.
Vigorously smote. But so what you're saying is they might make it look like they were struck by lightning.
Yes, that is what they will do.
There you go. Shocking.
And because they want to send the signal that this person didn't believe and look what happened to them. You should probably believe. And they don't want anyone to think that it was anything other than a god.
Right.
So
there's some supernatural means of them being exploded.
Yes. So they will use magic. They will use the divinity magic that they've been able to tap into in some way, or they can elaborately set it up in some other way. I don't know. Like that's the mechanic is up to the author, but making it where they are setting up these fake smotings, and smote just doesn't feel like the word, man.
It's the word.
If you have any thoughts about the word smote, please let us know. Emails in the show notes. But
thanks for listening.
Goodbye. And one of the things I was thinking about is that they want to make it like they need to do it basically in private. They need to make it so that no one else is around to see them setting up the ruse. And so a thought I had was they during like prayer or, you know, like an equivalent of mass or church or something, people go to the temple to worship. And if you aren't there, you are then the target. And
this is rigorous attendance keeping.
Well, because the assassins will then go out and look and see who they can find. And they might note this person hasn't been there several times. They must be one of them.
Mm.
But because they're doing this enough that more people make sure that they go to their worship because they don't want to get smote. So they aren't on the street.
Mm.
But then these assassins go and they make notes. So then over time it gets easier and easier to do that because you're like, oh, we only see one person not there. Has he been out here before?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay, then we'll let him live because he's probably like, you know, he might just have something else to do today. And like, there's an emergency or he's unwell or something like that. But if it's like, oh, you are clearly not a true believer. You are not showing up.
Yeah.
Then we're taking you down.
And then they're going to get smited.
And they're going to get, quote unquote, smote.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
It's very good. I like building in assassination to any fictional pantheon.
Yeah. I think the key here is that it is not a god that you would think would be associated. It's like the sun god or something. It is just like the head of the pantheon, and they just want to make. And it's the clergy. The god isn't a part of this.
Mm.
It's not like a part of the tenets. It's not something that the god is telling their clergy to do. This. I mean, I'm definitely channeling real life religion here. Like it is a control thing.
Right.
They want to make sure you all come to the church.
It's a little wag the dog too.
Yeah.
Like creating a situation to force people to do it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could also be capable of doing other assassinations that aren't, you know, like these staged smitings are specific.
Right.
And they don't only do that. They will assassinate in like cold blood, in the dark of night, in your house.
Mm-hmm.
If they suspect that you are aware of this fact and you are going to let
them. Then they might black bag you.
Yeah, they might just remove you from the board. But if you are clearly a non-believer,
right,
then they need to make a show of it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So they're multifaceted, but the main thing that they do, the purpose for existing, is the smiting approach.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. It makes me it does draw me back a little bit to Thane Krios. Yep. Again, because it could be very easy to build someone into that order that does not want to be doing this, that regrets that they have to do this.
That they are a true believer.
Yeah.
And that they have been persuaded that and been taught that this is the thing that must happen to maintain order, mm-hmm. is that we must keep the whole herd safe. Mm-hmm. And every one of these, you know, non-believers out there not in the temple is a stray that could endanger the herd. Mm-hmm. So you must cull them for the good of the group.
Yep.
And that'd be a fucked up ideology to have, fucked up world to be living in, where you have to kill people because you are dead convinced that that's for the good of everybody.
It's sort of like the Assassin's Guild in the Wanted movie, where they have the Loom of Destiny and it basically prints out the names of people that they must assassinate. Uh-huh. Only... but they don't know where the loom is coming from, what it means. Oh. And so they think it's to keep society on track.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's actually a cool idea.
Yeah. It's, I was going to say, we recently had fan mail from a listener who pointed out that we're good at finding that everything can be good.
Yeah.
Every piece of media can be good. And my comment to that was, yes, because even if a story's bad, the world building can always have a fascinating tidbit. And that's a fascinating tidbit in a movie that was otherwise not well liked. Every story, every piece of media usually has something in there like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
And grabbing that, which I think you're fantastic at, and also because you love bad movies.
I love bad movies.
But so like, bad movies have cool concepts.
Yeah.
They just don't do anything with it, with the writing of the dialogue and all that stuff. You know, Star Wars has terrible dialogue, but it's got great shit everywhere else.
Yep. And we love it for the bad dialogue, but that's a different conversation. But yes, no, I mean, so, Geostorm.
Yeah. Geostorm!
Some great ideas. I love this idea.
Yeah.
I love this idea. I think this is great, and I think it's easy to build a societal structure. It's easy to build a clergy. It's easy to build a whole world out of this one idea. I think that's very fun.
Yeah.
So much so that it actually makes me, I'm feeling a little bit hungry though, even though we just ate. So I'm going to press ding, Kyle. Go.
That was a weird segue. Yeah, it wasn't, you know, we'll accept that you have successfully segued us.
I have. How do you like my transition material?
Could use some work. All right. So my frozen lasagna is that you have to, if you want to have somebody assassinated, you have to declare it in a public square loudly and throw out them, like, with the money.
Ah.
And so everyone knows who has been targeted, who is being assassinated, and the assassins do not miss. They will die guaranteed 100%. But you have given up all the money that you are supposed to pay, and everyone saw that, and now everybody knows who got them killed. So and it's legal. It's just a social framework that prevents people from doing it all the time because they don't want to be known as the guy who assassinated, and it's expensive, but it's a guarantee that will happen. And you create a lot of interesting story moments of somebody just declared to have the character in the story assassinated in a public square while the character is in that square and now is on the run.
Dope.
Yeah.
Dig it. No notes.
All right.
Well, obviously, because it's a microwave sesh.
Yeah. Frozen lasagna. Yeah. Here you go. Yeah. 1 minute. Go. Bing.
I'm going back to actually one of the ideas that we had in our earlier Assassin's Guild episode, and it's similar to the one that you just discussed here with Not a True Believer, but I want the concept of an assassin that is an agent of mercy. So they are clergy of the God of Mercy, or the aspect of the monotheistic deity, they are agents of the mercy, mm-hmm. where they go to people that are suffering and end their suffering.
Yeah. Great.
That's it.
Cool.
Nothing else.
All right. Well, then let's just talk about what's stuck for us. What's stuck?
I like the idea of assassins that are agents of a holy order. I think that's a fun little tweak. I think it's an inversion of tropes. I think it's a fun, especially because so often in modern fantasy that's been so heavily influenced by D&D, holy agents are in bright shining plate and they're paladins, yeah. and clerics with their shields and mace, right? And it's like, this flips that a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I also really like what you did to the the psychic assassin, your emphasis on building on the absorbing elements, which to me was just an offshoot of an idea.
Yeah.
It does make for much more interesting characters.
Yeah.
And creates interesting dynamics and conflicts, particularly the potential for intergroup conflict between the members of the Assassin's Guild could be really high and really interesting to explore.
Yeah. I think that stuck for me too, but it's specifically the idea that you have it's the moments with the assassin who's been doing it for a long time and they're near their last kill.
Yeah.
They're about to be retired and their
threshold kill, we'll call it.
Yeah, the threshold kill is approaching, and say, you know, they are a part of the Mass Effect team, and it's like, I get one more assassination. Don't make me waste it.
Yeah.
Like, I have to use it well, otherwise I'm done. I will not be able to kill again, because if I do it one more time, my mind is forfeit, and you don't want that.
It's
because I'm a trained
idea.
Killer, and because that's also part of it. Like, if they're a trained killer, you don't want them to go crazy.
Yeah.
Now they're a danger to everybody, and they know that. So they say, do not put me over the edge, because if I go over the edge, I don't know who I'll hurt, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
And that, like, that dynamic at the end of that assassin's shelf life is incredible.
That's awesome. 10 out of 10. We're going to end it there because it's too good.
All right.
Just quit while we're ahead.
All right. There you go. That's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Email's in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.